Thank all the musicians and everybody for a wonderful song service this morning to get us started out. And I would just like to say, before we get into the meat of the message here, that I do appreciate all of your texts and calls and prayers. I don't think I could be up here right now without them. So I appreciate every single one of y'all are so kind, and the ones who have prayed for me that I don't even know about it. That's just the beauty and power and wonderful thing about prayer and how we can support one another. But if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, Mr. Clarence already gave us a plug this morning for the book of Hebrews. It's a wonderful place to start this morning, where we'll spend the bulk of our time towards the end of chapter 10, mainly in the chapter of 11 today. We're going to be speaking about faith and what aspects of faith have to do with us according to God's word in our lives. Start reading in verse 37 of chapter 10. Says this: "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Let's seek him right now and go to a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, asking for your help, asking for your grace, your guidance, and your direction from your word in our lives. Lord, how much we need you today to live a godly life, to be an example, and to be a witness for Christ. May you help us in these next 30 or 40 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered, as I have many times, why doesn't my Christian life look more like someone who has given everything to Christ? Why doesn't my life look more like Christ? Why don't I have more motivation or more desire to live for the Lord, to give the Lord everything I have? I heard Mr. Steve spoke on Romans chapter 12 on Wednesday night. I wasn't here. But that chapter starts out with, become a living sacrifice for the Lord, our bodies, to present our bodies, a living sacrifice. If you've ever been there, wondered many times like I have, hang on into this message. Let's see where we're going to go here. We're going to be talking about faith. And I know what you're thinking. Andrew, that's Christian 101. I got it. Faith. All right, I got it. That's where we start. But hang on. I think you're going to see it in renewed appreciation for what faith, the role that it plays for us every single day in our lives as a Christian, and also the role that it plays as a non-believer. We have the most famous description here of faith in chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think this is more of a description of faith, not necessarily a definition. The definition would be believing in something you can't see, right? It takes faith to believe in something, to make it bring to mind reality to something that you cannot grasp or see. And certainly there are many things, even in our world around us, that we use faith every day. But we're going to be talking about biblical faith this morning. We're going to be talking about not necessarily ourselves or faith and self. We're talking about a person this morning as well when we talk about faith, who we are placing that faith in. So faith is substance. Y'all might laugh, but I called Jeff Buckles to ask him. I said, "What do you think about this verse, Jeff?" And his says, "Well, Andrew, I believe that what it's saying here is faith brings reality to what we believe in, what we are trusting. The substance, it gives life, it gives reality to what we are believing in. The things that are hoped, right? We all have that hope that one day when this body goes into the ground, my body, that it will be raised back to life. That though I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. I'll be with the Lord in glory, right? That is the things that we are hoped for, and those realities can be real only through faith. It takes faith. We walk by faith. The verse we read in chapter 10, the just shall live by faith. If you are a Christian, you are required to live and to walk by faith. We do not go on what we can just see. We go on the word of God. But also, it's the evidence of things not seen. The Lord has not asked us this morning to believe in a fairy tale, to believe in something that doesn't make any sense or doesn't have any evidence. No, faith is not blind. It is not a thing we just come up with. It is based on evidence. The Bible has been proven over and over and over. And he gives us the next verse. He gives us an example of what faith is. By faith, in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, some of y'all were a lot closer to when the Lord spoke this earth into existence than others. But I guarantee you, none of us were there. And we have to use faith. We understand that by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. I see faith this way, as maybe my mind just drifts this way as I help further understand it. But I see faith as a vehicle, as a conduit, as a conductor. Why did the Lord choose faith to be a requirement for salvation before the foundations of the world? I can't answer that question. But when I think about faith, and I actually brought something to help illustrate that this morning with me. I brought a piece of wire with me. And this piece of wire this morning is going to represent faith. It's a piece of 3/0 copper. It's got THHN insulation. And if you take it to a scrapyard, it's probably worth about $15.39 if you took the insulation off. But today, this is going to help us understand a little bit more of what faith is as a conductor. Now, if you want to know about electricity, talk to Miss Rhonda afterwards. She's our resident electrical engineer in the audience. I don't know anything about electricity. I just know that I have to be careful around it, and I have to be safe, as Daniel and I work around it every single day. But faith is a conductor. If I give this piece of wire, to just say I give this to Mr. Glenn, I say, here you go, Mr. Glenn. Have faith. Here you go. Have faith, Mr. Glenn. What good is that wire to Mr. Glenn? Well, it's not good for anything. But when you take this faith, this conductor, and you plug it into what we call the electrical source, it can do amazing things. It can do amazing things. And so it's not just about faith alone, right? It's about where we place this faith. And when we plug into the electrical source of God, the grace of God can flow, just like electrons can flow through that wire. But that wire in and of itself, I would not even say it's useless. It's harmful. It's dangerous. Because you hear so much in this world, he's a man of faith. Just have faith. Just keep the faith. I agree. Keep the faith. Be a man of faith. But faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the promises of God. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5. I want to illustrate, or not illustrate, I want to just read from the Bible and see what it says. Romans chapter 5. Faith in our salvation. Let's get the first things first this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering about where your faith is, what you're placing your trust in. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about having faith this morning. It's about that faith being in a person, and that person being the Lord Jesus Christ. We read on, to whom we have access by faith into this grace. See, we're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace, right? Ephesians, but it's through faith. Faith allows the salvation, the grace of God, to flow. And I wonder this morning, where is my heart? Is it attached to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it in God? Where is my faith? As we talk about faith today, it's not just for salvation. It's absolutely every single day that we need faith. And when we talk about faith again this morning, it's not just the important to have, it's not about the amount, okay? Well, you need to have more faith. Well, I would agree with that. But we're going to see what the Lord Jesus says. Flip over to go to the New Testament a little further to Luke chapter 27, because the disciples ask, aren't you so glad for the disciples' questions that they ask the Lord, and his response is amazing. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I think that would be, I would pray that this morning. Lord, increase our faith. That's a great question. That's a great prayer to this morning. Lord, increase our faith. But look at the response by the Lord. Check out this response. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What the Lord is saying here is not the amount of faith. The disciple says, Lord, we want to have more faith. And what the Lord says, if you just take that little tiny bit of faith and you place it in the right spot, it is unbelievably powerful in your life. It is unbelievably powerful in your life. Who are we placing our faith? Who am I trusting for salvation? Who am I daily trusting for my needs to be met and to give me direction in this life? Is it myself? Is it the world? I hope not. It needs to be the Lord. The Lord is not telling us here, I don't want you to have more faith. I don't think he would ever tell us. He's just telling us the importance of even just a little bit of faith placed in an almighty, all-caring, all-loving, gracious God can do amazing things in your life. According to the will of God. Let's go back to Hebrews now. Hebrews to one of our key verses this morning. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can ask the boys in Sunday school. This is probably one of my favorite verses now. I quote it all the time. But without faith, verse 6 in chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This word impossible here is adunitas, okay? Now look, I just look up words on the internet. Blue Letter Bible, you just type in the verse, you know, that's all I do. But that was the Greek word for it, adunitas. And it means exactly what it says. Impossible, without strength, weakly, disabled, powerless. It's used in the Gospels when one of the people that come to the Lord are weak in his ankles, can't stand, lame. Adunitas, it is impossible. You are without strength to please the Lord without using faith. Now, I got to be practical, right? Before you get out of bed this week and try this, before you get out of bed, wake up and say, Lord, and you probably already do this. And this is just the lessons that I'm learning, right, that I need to learn. Lord, help me through this day. Have faith. Lord, I need you. Lord, give me directions. Protect me from making a wrong decision that would bring you dishonor, Lord. And then pray another prayer that I love, that Erwin Lutzer, I heard on the radio when he was doing his sermon about the glory of God. Pray this prayer. Lord, today, glorify yourself. Glorify yourself at my expense. Boy, that takes faith. Because you know what a lack of faith says? I'm in control. I want to do it, Lord. I'm in control. I'm going to be making the decisions around here. I'm going to protect myself. Faith is saying, Lord, I'm not in control. You're in control. Help me to follow you. Help me to follow you. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But know this, know that faith will be tested. Right? We read in Sunday school, high school Sunday school class this morning about Abraham. and how he was called to lay Isaac on the altar. And it specifically says, God tested Abraham. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, endure trials so that the genuineness of your faith may be firm. Faith will be tested. It's not faith. It's not a strong faith if it's not tested. Let's look over at the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. Other characteristics, other factors about faith. Faith changes our circumstance. Sometimes faith changes our circumstance. Let's go to verse 30 of chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What more shall we say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, also of David and of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, because vigilant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead back to life. We'll stop right there and continue on here in just a minute. Faith changes our circumstances. I don't know what you're going through in life. I really don't. But faith can change your circumstances. We see here, the walls of Jericho came down because of faith. That would have never happened if it wasn't for the faith of the Israelites. The mouths of lions were stopped. That, I would hope, would be a reference to Daniel, or would think it would be a reference to Daniel. Kingdoms were subdued. We know great works of God are done through faith. And that our circumstances, whatever it may be, can sometimes be changed by faith. But hang on. Faith is not tied to just circumstances. Let's read on. The next point we have is faith does not change our circumstances. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial, mocking, scourging, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. If you're sitting there just like I am when I read a passage like that, like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. You spare some, you don't spare others. Others, the mouths of lions were stopped. We know Christians have been fed to lions back 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, in the Colosseums and other places throughout the world. Horrible atrocities, cut, sawn in two, poor, destitute, afflicted, all of these things. And yet their circumstances, their present reality was not changed, even though they had faith. Faith, true faith, is not tied to what goes on around us. But these people had one thing in common, and they had this in common, that they all overcame through faith. I don't know what we're headed for in this nation. I don't know what we're headed to get ready to go through in this life. I don't know what, the Lord's in control, not me. But I guarantee us this one thing, we better be ready, and we better have faith, and our faith better be in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when trials and times and different things hit, that we're just like, Lord, what is going on? We don't miss a beat. We don't miss a beat because we're firm and we're grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another example of faith and circumstances being changed. We talked about this last week. James, Peter is in prison. James is beheaded. Peter gets to go free. I mean, Lord, what's the deal? What's the deal here? That's why Paul writes in Romans, oh, the depth of the, Matthew read it this morning. I tell you, I've been so encouraged this morning by different scriptures that were called out, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can't answer some of these questions of why the Lord does this, why the Lord does that. We're not called. We're not held responsible to answer these questions. What we are called to do is to keep on trusting despite our circumstances, despite of what happened to around us. The only answer that I have for this is over in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 11. One of the only things that helps me make sense of this is in Matthew chapter 11. You know, a very famous chapter and story. John the Baptist is in prison. Talk about circumstances. The man who baptized the Lord saw the Lord, the glory, landing on the Lord, alighting on him, is now in prison. John's sitting there wondering the same thing. What's the deal? We know that the Lord Jesus said there is none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. It's okay to have doubts. That's not a lack of faith. As long as they're honest doubts, as long as you're being transparent and honest with the Lord, here John the Baptist is having doubt. Hey, I'm in prison. I'm going to be beheaded. He didn't know that maybe at the time. Maybe he knew. Do we look for another, or are you the Christ? In verse 4, Jesus gives his response. Go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then verse 6, just amazing. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I've heard Erwin Lutzer talk about this verse many times, and his version on this verse is this. And blessed is the one who is not offended at me at how I run my business. This morning, what you're going through in life, whatever struggle, whatever things that are bothering you, whatever things that have you discouraged, maybe down a little bit, I don't know what they are. We're not called to figure them out. And the Lord says, blessed are you if you are not offended in how I conduct my business, how I choose to run things in this life and for you. It's all for your good. It's all for my glory, as Romans 8:31 would tell us. So we've already established the fact that true faith is not tied to circumstances. Well, Andrew, why don't I believe more? I mean, come on, it's easy. All you got to do is believe. All I got to do is trust. What keeps me from believing? Go over to Matthew, since we're already there. Matthew chapter 14. A few pages over. Matthew 14. In verse 22. Famous story. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had come, he was alone there, but the boat was not. And in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, truly, you are a son of God. You are the Son of God." Excuse me. We have a perfect picture here of the hindrance of faith. What stops us? What keeps us from believing and trusting in the Lord more?
It's a perfect scenario. The Lord is not physically with the disciples, just like the Lord is not physically with us here on this earth, is he? He's not here. He has left us here with his Holy Spirit. But the Lord Jesus is not physically here on this earth. So it's perfect. It's a beautiful example and picture of what faith is. Well, what's the next thing that happens? The Lord sends his disciples over to the other side. I've just got done feeding the 5,000. I'm going to dismiss these people. I'm going up to a mountain to pray. Y'all head to the other side of the sea. And they do. And, you know, the disciples, they were caught in so many storms. Sometimes it's kind of comical a little bit to think about it. I've been caught in a few storms. They're not fun. They're scary. There's so much prayer that goes on when you're in the midst of a terrifying, lightning, cracking storm. Imagine being out on a boat this morning, except for it being pitch black dark, and you're rowing as the disciples were. That's where they were at. They were in a storm. And then Peter says, Lord, the Lord comes to them, and they're scared. They think it's a ghost. And immediately Jesus says, hey, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to walk out to you on the water. Y'all, we all jump on Peter. He got out of the boat. Look at the other disciples who stayed in the boat. At least Peter was willing to walk by faith to the Lord. And the Lord said, come. The Lord is never going to turn down a sincere faith, is he? When you want to walk by faith, the Lord says, come. Follow me. Come. Trust me. And as Peter gets down out of the boat, it says in verse 30, he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretches out his hand, and he catches Peter and says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I don't know what camp you're in this morning. I see three camps here. I see the fact that some of us need to get out of the boat. Some of us need to come to the Lord Jesus and trust him in faith, not only for salvation, but every single day, y'all, every single day. I see the one who is walking out to the Lord, right? But then as Peter starts looking around and says, this is scary, he takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks at the situation and the circumstances around him, and that's when he started to sink. And the third camp is, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. What camp are you in this morning? I don't know. I can't answer for you. Some of us need to get out of the boat. Some of us don't need to be looking around at our circumstances around us. I mean, this whole world, y'all, is nothing but a distraction. It's a mission field, but it's nothing but a distraction. And the third camp is, if you're falling, ask the Lord to save you. How beautiful is that, y'all, that the Lord, Peter says, Lord, save me. The Lord reaches down with his strength and lifts Peter up and says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? The Lord could say that to every single one of us this morning. Why do you doubt me? Why do you have such a little faith? Why do you get worked up? Why do you pursue the things that you pursue, Andrew? Why are you scared? Why are you so focused on what you can see when you need to be focused on me? I'm such a wonderful Savior. I'm such a loving God. I care so much about you. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? I'm going to have Josh come up, and he's going to start preparing for a song that we're going to play, or he's going to play and sing. The words are going to be up on the PowerPoint, but I want you to go over, as Josh gets ready, in a few minutes early this morning, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. another verse that was read this morning. Wonderful. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. We looked at the verse in the Gospels of Luke that said, increase our faith, Lord. And I think that's an appropriate place to end, is how do we increase our faith? And this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who better to look at this morning when we want our faith to be increased and we want to be more pleasing to the Lord than to the perfecter and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. The song that I've asked Josh to sing has these words. When troubles come and darkness crowds, when fortune fail and loss surrounds, my soul is weak, but Christ is strong, and so to him I leave it all. When questions rise, when faith wears thin, when fears come fast and truth grows dim, the one who saved will not forsake. I'll trust his word, I'll trust his way. For he who bore my blame can bear each care I name. The words are going to be up here. I invite you to sing along if you don't know it, but just use it as a time of reflection and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Josh.
When troubles come, when darkness crowds, when fortunes fail and loss surrounds, my soul is weak, but Christ is strong, and so to him I leave it all. For he who holds all things can bear each care I bring, so I lay it all on Jesus. Steadfast is the love of Jesus. He hears my cry, he's faithful. Come fast.
save me? Oh, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we have an anchor this morning for the soul, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know our hearts, you know the struggles, you know the shortcomings, the areas that we fall short, Lord. We are not offended at you this morning, Lord, at how you conduct your business. Help us, Lord, to live in this wicked and perverse generation, to be a light for those that are around us, our children, our families, the communities, the people that don't know you as personal Savior. Lord, help us not just to serve lip service this morning, but we know without faith, without works, faith is dead, Lord. So this morning, Father, do your work through your Holy Spirit who does it all. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.